Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
NBA.com did an anonymous NBA GM survey. The Rockets were all over the survey, but there was one category in particular where they finished second. That was pretty surprising to me. And I don't think it's a good thing that they finished second. We'll get to that here on In the Loop. I'm Luke Morrow alongside B. Scott, Figgy Fig on the steel wheels, and you as well on this Friday. You can always text the show 713-572-4610 or get to us on YouTube and Twitch as well. You can go to NBA.com and find this GM survey for the upcoming year. It's very long. They did a bunch of different categories. A lot of positives for the Rockets in this survey. You know, the Rockets finished as the second best overall moves of the offseason, getting 27% of the votes, only behind Atlanta, which got almost half of the votes.
Which that surprises me because I'm like, yeah, Atlanta made some good moves, but does anybody think Atlanta's going to do anything? Or
right.
Like, what are we saying about that?
Yeah.
When we say that they had the best offseason or made the best moves, are we suggesting that they are this year's Pacers? Or like, like what does that mean? Like, yeah. how bold of a statement are they making there?
Right.
You know, at least with the Rockets, we feel like they got championship aspirations. I don't know if maybe I'm just disconnected, but is anybody saying that about the Hawks?
No, yeah, I know. I think
I'm
it's something
to think about
like
the moves they made.
They got Porzingis in there. I mean, you know, like
it's exciting.
Is that going to bump you up that high though?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it's almost like for the Hawks, like if you go from a D to a B, and the Rockets going from maybe like a B to an A with their moves, that you might have had overall, you might have improved more during the offseason, but just because you had more room to improve. The ceiling is still higher for a team like the Rockets because of their offseason moves.
Yeah, but you give me Porzingis. I think they got Nikhil Alexander Walker. So, you know, they got him from Minnesota.
Yep.
I want to say they signed Luke Kennard. Like, they made some nice moves, but the Rockets went out and got Kevin Durant.
Well, that leads me to the next category where Durant was overwhelmingly voted as the single player acquired this offseason that will have the biggest impact at 73%. So kind of to your point, you know, Durant was by far the biggest move of the offseason.
Yeah.
Could almost help make the case stronger that the Rockets overall had the best offseason.
Yeah, I don't get how those things aren't mutually exclusive in this case. Like if he's the most impactful offseason acquisition, then how is that not the most impactful offseason? You know, like
right.
if that's going to be the one that's going to have the greatest impact. I don't know. Maybe I'm a simpleton. does that not track? Like
I'm with you.
The greatest offseason acquisition equates to having the best offseason. I don't know.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to the Rockets, the area they kind of struggled in pretty much all season and clearly in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You addressed that in the big way.
Yeah. And also not losing a lot of the important things that already made them very good.
You still got your core.
Yeah. Aside from the Fred VanVleet injury, which is significant.
Yep.
But other than that, when we just talk about roster wise, right? Fred VanVleet is still on the roster. He just got hurt. Can't do anything about that. But in terms of what they have, what they're bringing back, along with what they're bringing in, I don't get how that's not a better, how that wouldn't be better than whatever Atlanta did bringing in Porzingis. Come on now.
All sorts of Rocket superlatives. Amen Thompson was voted player most likely to have a breakout season, was also picked as the most versatile player in the league, was also voted as the most athletic player in the league. So pretty good praise there. He received votes as a top perimeter defender, one of the fastest players with the ball. Let's see where else the Rockets come in here. Third in voting for a team with the best young core.
Yep.
Ime finished second for best motivator. Nice.
Defensive scheme, he's on there for that.
Second for best defensive scheme. The Rockets were voted as a team, fourth best defensive team.
You had Roy Al-Ivey in there as one of the best assistant coaches.
Yes.
Kind of just goes to show how well-respected he is around the league. And an underrated, I think, connection for Kevin Durant as well, the Texas thing with Roy Al-Ivey.
That's true.
Kevin Durant, I think they played together in Oklahoma City as well.
Yeah, Ivy finished third in votes. You also had Fred VanVleet showing up as the active player most likely to be a head coach someday.
Yeah, could see that.
But the one that stood out most to me, because a lot of this stuff was pretty straightforward, not necessarily surprises, or like, oh, yeah, I could see that. I agree. And there might be some others that stood out to you, B. Scott. But the one that stood out most to me was this category where the Rockets finished second, which is, which team's level of success this season is toughest to predict? Now, maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill here, but the Sixers are number one. They received 47% of the vote. By the way, the leader last year was the Lakers at 17%. So this year, the Sixers got almost half the votes that GMs look at them and they're like, I don't know what the Sixers team is going to be this year. But then second, with a few other teams, but still second on this list, and sure, only 7%, but still second on this list for most unpredictable, in a sense, is the Houston Rockets. And that surprised me. I almost took that like in an offensive way, because the way I viewed it was in a negative lens, and I think this Rockets team is pretty safe in the sense of, I think they're a top three team in the West. I think they'll win 50-plus games. I think they'll be in the playoffs. The question becomes, how far are they going to go in the playoffs? But I don't think there's this wide variance of, this team could win as many as 60 games or lose as many as 50 games. I think it's a pretty safe window of what we're going to get from the Rockets, and therefore, I don't view them really all that unpredictable at all, certainly not the second most unpredictable team right now in the league.
Yeah, the Sixers make sense because they do seem to have the highest variance, like they could be one of the better teams in the East if they're healthy. And they could be what they were last year. Like,
right.
Who knows exactly what's going to happen there. But once you get to the Rockets, like, hey, if the NBA GMs are having a tough time predicting what the Rockets are going to do this year, they might need to just come talk to us. Because we seem to be pretty sure and pretty safe in our predictions, or feel pretty confident in our prediction that the Rockets are going to be one of the, I said at least one of the teams with home court advantage. Like, if not a top three, certainly a top four team in the West. But I did notice, until you get to the also receiving votes, like everyone that's tied for 7% in that question, along with the Rockets, it's all Western Conference teams, which to me says that it's the Western Conference that's more so, at least for the NBA GMs that participated in this survey, that's what's hardest to predict. It's the Rockets tied with the Dallas Mavericks, the Warriors, the Clippers, the Lakers are in there, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans. And so that, to me, speaks more to just a crowded field in the West, which has been the case for a while now, and certainly was the case the last couple of years. You can even look at last year, where there wasn't a big difference between, let's say, 2 and 8, but 2 and 10, you know, the teams that were the Warriors not a play-in? You had some play-in teams that it felt like, maybe it was the Grizzlies, who at one point were one of the top seeds. You know, like you had these teams that were in the play-in that felt like they could have easily been in the playoffs. And so what I'm saying here is that the West in and of itself seemed harder to predict, and the Rockets specifically have the new piece, like they're the newer team of the group. So maybe it's just having not seen it that has people thinking that it's harder to predict. But I'm with you thinking that they're pretty safe in that top three, top four range of teams.
Yeah, I don't.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready.
Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I just don't see a large range of outcomes. Maybe I'm wrong. On the text line, someone said Durant's health is why they're there.
That's fair.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Yeah, I mean, you can make that case. Obviously, Durant, because of his recent history and his age, you could always make that case for any team, of course, if they were to lose their star. But also, I just trust the Rockets. That, I mean, last year without Durant, and of course, they had Fred VanVleet, and it's a different team last year this year, but you know, they still found a way to win over 50 games. Like, I still trust this team, at least in the regular season. If you had to hold serve for a few weeks without Durant, I think Ime's a good enough coach, good enough motivator, even just according to this poll. They have enough pieces, enough talent on that roster that I'm not telling you they're going to go win a championship without Durant, but could they hold their head above water for a few weeks in the regular season? Yeah, I think so. I don't think that dooms the season unless he were to miss, you know, the entire year the large majority.
But I think that's part of it, right? If the premise for the Rockets is that what's going to help them take that next step is adding Kevin Durant, but then also Kevin Durant's health at this age is difficult to predict, then to me that inherently makes them somewhat unpredictable or difficult to predict. I get that train of logic. Like, we don't know how many games Durant is going to play, or, you know, he's got an injury history to begin with, and then he's old on top of it. So, like, what if the worst happened? Worst case scenario, and they don't have Kevin Durant for 50, 60 games as opposed to like 15 to 20, you know, which is kind of like reasonably expectable at that age.
Yeah.
Then, okay, things might change a little bit for them, or they might have to look like a different team. Is Amen Thompson ready to take that next step? Is he a superstar? Is he just a really fun and interesting and exciting player? Like, what exactly is going to happen with that? Now, this same core group of people is predicting him to have a breakout year. So if you're predicting Amen Thompson to have a breakout year, if you're saying that Kevin Durant is one of the better small forwards in the league, if you think that Kevin Durant is one of the better acquisitions or the best acquisition of the offseason, you think Ime Udoka is one of the better coaches in the league, then what exactly is the hardest part to predict? It's got to be that age factor and not knowing if he's going to stay healthy.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, and they had a lot of positive recognition, so forgive me for focusing on the one potential negative thing. But yeah, that's what stood out. Someone said on the text line, if the Rockets win big, you won't be surprised. Also wouldn't be surprised if Durant got hurt and they didn't win big. That's why they're hard to predict. I don't know. If you tell me you wouldn't be surprised by those two outcomes, I feel like then it would be easy to predict because you're not surprised by it. Right? I feel like the unpredictability comes from being caught off guard or being surprised by the outcome. Also on the text line, Rockets didn't win a playoff series last year as a two seed. Durant's aging, which lends to health concerns. Listing potential reasons why the Rockets may seem more unpredictable than at least I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know if I buy it.
But do you feel like they could still be good, though? Because you still got Amen Thompson that probably going to take that next big step, and then you got Shagun still. Do you still feel like they could be good, though?
But that's the thing, and that's the reason why I think that this is here is because, yeah, they can still be good, but they were good before. This is what's supposed to take them from good to great, right? Like, if Kevin Durant's healthy, then he's the best acquisition of the offseason, and they're a contender, and they're great, potentially, right? If he's not healthy, then they're just another team in the West and not much beyond that. Again, unless this Amen Thompson thing that we're talking about turns into something, right? Turns into something more than what we've seen already. Then, and that's harder to predict. Like, what's the progression that he's going to make with a higher usage rate, with more of a leeway, with different cast around him, namely Kevin Durant being a part of that? Like, how much does his game change? Like, these things are a little bit difficult to predict. I just feel so good about all of it that I feel like I'm predicting them to be pretty good, if not great, you know, if that makes sense. One thing that I really liked about this list was how you wouldn't have had a Houston representative on this list last year by any shot. Which player would you want to take the shot with the game on the line?
Oh, wow.
And Steph Curry wins this by a large margin, and I'm fine with that. I get that. He wins it by 47%. But after him is one Kevin Durant with 17%. And this is NBA GMs. These are people that are connected, people that, you know, are objectively experts in the field. They're going Kevin Durant. I feel great about the Rockets having somebody like that on the list. Like, not just having somebody on the list, but the second guy.
Yeah.
You know, the second guy, hey, who do you want with the ball in their hands to take the shot with the game on the line? And anybody not named Steph Curry, that guy is Kevin Durant, and he plays for the Rockets.
And they didn't have anybody like that, in my opinion,
no,
last season.
No, nobody last on their team would have made this list.
Fred Van Vliet had the ball in his hands. We were looking at Fred Van Vliet because I felt like nobody really trusts Jalen Green at that point. Man Thompson, I know he had a game winner, but.
Yeah, well, that to me is indicative, right? The fact that you got to a point as Amen Thompson started to rise, they started trusting a guy that can't shoot with the ball in his hands at the end of the game to win the game for them with the, you know, for the last shot.
Yeah.
So this is a lot different than that, let's just say.
Yeah.
From this guy who can't shoot to, let's say, Kevin Durant.
This is exactly what they needed. And I think we was talking about that in real time during the season or during the playoffs, that they needed somebody like a Kevin Durant.
Yeah. It is just odd that they got all of these things going for them that seem positive. Like, you got Amen Thompson, who's littered throughout this list. I think Alperen Şengün is probably underrepresented on this list, but most people feel pretty good about Alperen Şengün, feel good about Ime Udoka, feel good about the Rockets bringing in Kevin Durant, even at this big age. So what's so hard to predict? You know, it's got to be the injury thing. That's literally got to be it.
I guess so. I guess that's the only thing. My only other concern with this team is the point guard position, but we'll see how that plays out, and they might be good enough elsewhere anyways to make up for it. But the Rockets finished second for teams toughest to predict this year in the NBA GM survey. What's the range of possible outcomes for this team? Floor, ceiling? Why are they so hard to trust right now? You can let us know, 713-572-4610, because I just don't see it. But these NBA GMs do, and they should know the league better than me. Hey, we'll get to our confessions, but in the meantime, we got a giveaway opportunity here. Caller number 8 will win a $50 gift card from Texas Star Grill. The caller will also be entered for the chance to win a Traeger Woolridge Elite Grill and a case of John Lopez's OG sauce at the end of the football season. Caller number 8 now, 713-572-4610. $50 gift card from Texas Star Grill on the line, plus the opportunity to win that Traeger Woolridge Elite Grill and a case of Lopez's OG sauce at the end of the football season. Caller number 8. Call now. We'll get to our confessions next. It's In the Loop.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.